forget. I don't really want to be seen with it. And I wonder, can you help me by pretending that it's something else? Now, has anybody got an idea how we could pretend it's something else? You know, for example, a snooker cue? Josiah, hand up. I love your swimming goggles. Very hard to see out of my swimming goggles here. Anybody else got any other items? Martha? A sword. That's a good one. I'm going to whack you with my bread sword. John? John's been fishing. He's caught an eel. Look at that. This is great. This is better than I've had a couple of backups, but this is even better. Jean, let's come over here. An umbrella, I thought that was on my list, an umbrella, rather limited. Maybe it's one of those that you press the button and the end flies off completely. Let me do Tony. A lightsaber, yes, if you're really intergalactic or space-wise, I run the risk of it falling apart. But yes, lightsaber. One more, Bethany. Pretend it's my friend. In fact, it really would be my only friend if we did that. I thought we could have a walking stick. Thought we could have had a scarf. I mean, we could have had anything, really. That is fantastic. Thank you, guys. Now, I don't want to be seen with a baguette. I'm ashamed of it. Tried to hide it, tried to pretend it's something else. And that's just a bit of silliness. It's a bit of a game to get us thinking. But more seriously, there are things in our lives that we really are ashamed of. And back to our opening question, did you do anything over the Christmas season that you're ashamed of? Or maybe not something you've done over Christmas, but have you ever felt ashamed to be associated with someone or something? Embarrassed. It's hard, isn't it? You know, we perhaps feel embarrassed now that we were embarrassed at the time. Yeah, maybe it's an odd member of the family, someone a bit quirky that you just feel ashamed about. Or a friend who doesn't quite fit in at school. And you like them, but you don't really want to hang out with them too much in case the people you think are cool see you with them. Or perhaps we think we're too cool to be seen with certain people. We're ashamed of them. It's horrible, really, to think about that. But the truth is that we are all at times tempted to be ashamed. And for Christians, those trusting in Jesus with our lives, we're tempted to be ashamed of Jesus. It's crazy. One minute we're singing praises to him in church as our Lord and our Saviour. And the next minute we're at work or we're at school and we're embarrassed when someone asks us what we did at the weekend. Or why we're sticking up for that person. Or why we're saying no to yet another drink at the dinner party. You know, when we have the chance to say what we believe about Jesus, when we have the chance to say why we're living how we are for Jesus, each one of us is tempted to be ashamed. Because it makes us stand out. It makes us look different. Because Jesus isn't cool to the world. Or church isn't cool to the world. Because being a Christian and living as a Christian makes us stand out. We feel we won't ever be accepted. So we say less about Jesus to fit in. We say less about our church family to fit in. We try to make our Christianity as trendy and as acceptable to the world as possible to fit in, to have an easier life. We find ourselves ashamed of the gospel and all it calls us to be as gospel people. But Jesus wants us to shine brightly for him. And not just on Sundays here in the safety of our church, but in all of our lives, in every place of our lives to stand out for Jesus, in what we say about Jesus and in how we live for Jesus. Not ashamed of Jesus, but verse 15 of Romans 1, to be eager for Jesus. Not ashamed, but to be eager for Jesus. Jesus says some sobering words in Mark 8:38. Whoever's ashamed of me and my words now, Of him will I be ashamed when I come in the glory of my Father with the holy angels. Jesus is coming back in all his glory. And I read that and I think, I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. I want to be proud of my Lord and Saviour Jesus. I want to speak of Jesus and I want to live for Jesus with all my heart, now and forever. Which is why our verse of the year, Romans 1:16, is, well, let me see if I can get you to guess what it is with an illustration. Now, I've got some small glasses here. I hesitate to say shot glasses in church on a Sunday morning, but we have some small glasses here at the front. Now, I wonder, does anybody want, young or old, does anybody want to come and have a taste of what's in my glasses? Stacey, so if you want to come and have a taste, let's come and stand this side of our not shot glasses, our small glasses. Stacey, if you want to come and have a taste of what's in it, come and stand this side of me. Come and stand that side. Well done, Stacey. I've got my baguette down there. Come and form a line. Form a line. Form a line. Form a line. My own children have backed out. I don't know what that says. Any adult want to come and have a taste? Go on, Steve. You come out. Let's have a token adult. Right, let's go. So I'm going to give you the glass. I don't want, oh, how many of you? I don't want you to drink it yet. We're all going to drink it together. And we're all going to watch our faces as we drink. Don't need to smell it yet, don't need to taste it. Keep hold of it, keep hold of it. We're gonna drink it all at once. Steve, are you driving home? Okay, you better just give you one. Brilliant, stand there. If you let me perch you at the end if you keep moving down. Who else hasn't got one yet, Abigail? How many more have we got? I've got enough, I've got loads. Let me do three, because I can do that. There we go, there's one. There's one. Then we've got two more to come. And then I'm going to do a one, two, three. Two more to come. And I'm going to do a one, two, three. And then you all, wait a minute, Martha, you all have a drink. You can drink it down at once if you want. Don't sip it. Don't bother with any of that stuff. Drink it straight down. All at once. One, two, three, go. Tell me what you think. You can stay there, Stacey. We've lost Stacey already. Wait there. Keep your mouth shut. What do you think? Now, does lime. Zeke, you think it's lime? Martha, you thought it was lemon. Anybody else? What do you lime?
Lime and lemon.
Alicia? Stacey? Stacey's still grimacing. Are you all right? Steve, do you know what it is? Steve definitely isn't driving home. Lemon and lime? Alicia, it is, let me just tell you, thank you very much. Come and stick your glass on the table and then I'll tell you what it is. It's nothing too potent, don't worry. Stick them on there. Just disgusting, Zelda said as she walked by me. Martha didn't drink any, she just came and held it. Tonic water. It was tonic water. We're okay, it was... It's all okay. It was only tonic water. Tonic water. That's right. Love it or hate it. Don't forget it. That's the first time we've had shot glasses at the front of church on a Sunday morning. Don't forget the illustration, because our verse for the year this morning is a real tonic for us when we feel ashamed of the gospel. And I don't care it's a tenuous link. Visually, that should be sticky preaching for us. Our verse this morning is a real tonic for us when we feel ashamed. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why is he not ashamed? Because it's the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Here's the tonic for us this morning. At the start of this new year, a new opportunity for each of us and for us together as a church family at St. Richard's. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And we know what the gospel is because Jane took us through that earlier. Who will be king? And again, these are free copies. Do take one. They're on the table. Every one of us here, you're welcome to take one. They're on the table in the entrance hall. We know what the gospel is. It's what Paul goes on to explain in Romans chapter 3. Don't read that now, but do read on into Romans chapter 3. The gospel of God's grace. His undeserved gift of rescue, of salvation. Forgiveness for people like you and like me, who want to live as gods of our lives instead of God. The gift is a restored relationship. Friends again with God. Read Romans chapter 5 about having peace with God. Not peace in our hearts, but peace like enemies no longer at war. That's God's free gift to us in Jesus. Because of him. Through Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus paying the price we owe God for our living as gods of our lives instead of God. Be eager for the gospel, not ashamed of it, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone. Anyone who turns to Jesus and puts their trust in him. Anyone who, one, says sorry to God for living as God of their lives. Two, believing that Jesus' death pays the price for that and makes us right with God. And three, commits to living for Jesus as God of our lives. One, admit. Two, believe. Three, commit. A, B, C. The gospel is God's power for salvation. The gospel is God's power for salvation for everyone who believes. Be eager for the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. And the gospel can change the hardest heart. The people we think least likely to trust in Jesus, well, God can change their hearts. And God can change our hearts too. What's impossible for us to do ourselves, God's Spirit can work in our hearts to do it. He can make us eager for the gospel and not ashamed. God's Spirit can give us words to speak about Jesus. Give us the strength to live for Jesus. Help us stand out for Jesus when naturally we just want to fit in. And when the world doesn't accept us for that, God is there with us. In his word, by his Spirit, comforting us, carrying us, giving us hope, certain hope that the gospel truly is the truth. And as Jesus says in John 14, the only truth. However the world treats us for speaking of and living for Jesus, we have no true hope. The world has no true hope apart from the gospel. All the other things we put our trust in, being popular, being cool, being respected, having an easy life, money and possessions, being comfortable, accepted, those things offer no lasting hope. They are fragile in the present and they will not last. Earthly things will not last into eternity. The gospel is God's power for salvation. The gospel is God's power for salvation for everyone who believes. Be eager for the gospel, not ashamed of it. And when that happens, what will we do? Well, I wonder. Here is a ticket for Disneyland. Here's my Disneyland ticket. It's a pretend ticket, just so we're all crystal clear on that. It's so very, very precious to me. And it's so precious to me that I want you to know about it. It's exciting. It's the trip of a lifetime. I can't help but talk about it. I want to share it. And look, I have 20 tickets for Disneyland. I don't want to keep my tickets for Disneyland. What do I want to do with them? I want to throw them everywhere. All my Disneyland tickets. I want to give my Disneyland tickets out to everybody. Some of us who've got three or four can give them to others too. Look at all my tickets everywhere. I don't want to keep them. I just want to share them. They're not real. The gospel is God's power for salvation for everyone who believes. When I realize how precious it is, I want it. When I have it, I want to share it. The gospel is God's power for salvation for everyone who believes. Be eager for the gospel, not ashamed of it. So as we finish now, I hope and pray that this verse of the year will set the course for our hearts and lives this coming year. Our words and actions as we live as gospel people in the world. So this year, resolve not to be ashamed of the gospel. Recognize it's God's power for salvation. And remember it's for everyone. Resolve, recognize, remember. And what can we do with that? Well, practically, here's a starter, one starter as we finish now, one practical starter. But write down the names of people you can pray for to come to trust in Jesus for themselves this year. We've got a verse of the year printed on cards. It looks like the term card, which has all the services. You can open it up. It's meant to look like that, but don't be confused by it. On the back is space for five people, young or old, whoever you are. Take one of these. They're out on the table. Write down the names of five people you could pray for who might come to trust in Jesus for themselves this year. Write them on the back of this verse for the year card and be praying for them. What else can we do? Well, perhaps offer to read the Bible one-to-one with someone this year. And for some of us who are a little older, we have a great resource, and I'm going to speak very briefly about it, the Word one-to-one. We're going to look at in home groups across both churches this term to help give Christians confidence to open the Bible with others. Don't be ashamed. Be eager for the gospel this year. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. God is with us as we go. Have no fear. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gospel, your power for salvation. And we pray for ourselves that you would make us eager to share and live the gospel that's transformed our lives. And we pray for others, especially friends and family and those in our local communities, that you'd bring them to salvation through the all-powerful, life-changing gospel. And give us the privilege of using us in your work in their lives as we speak of and live for Jesus, in whose name we now pray. Amen.